and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Last time in our study of the book of Ephesians, we left off with verse 18 of chapter 5. And I'm speaking about alcohol, how that the Bible says in verse 18, of Ephesians chapter 5, and be not drunk with wine. We're not to drink alcohol in any form as a beverage. We're not to use it. The Bible says to stay away from it. It can be addictive. Those people who say they are born with the urge to drink alcohol, I do not believe that is true. People get addicted to alcohol by drinking alcohol. People need to stay away from that, especially a saved person. That is no testimony for a person to have who says they are a child of God. We need to stay away from that. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Do not try to use that verse as an excuse for drinking. That does not give a person an excuse to drink wine as a Christian. The person is to stay away from it. Don't even look at it, the Bible says. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4, it says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries, wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Well, that means that as a Christian, you're not to do the things of the unsaved. And when you stop running with the crowd, and the unsaved crowd, possibly your friends, so-called, that you've caroused around with, drinking, or whatever, the last part of that verse, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4, it says they're going to speak evil of you. Why? Because you've changed. Because God has changed you. You're now a new creature in Christ because you've trusted the Lord to save you so that one day you'll be in heaven with the Lord. The Bible tells us that one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the things that we've done in this life. Now, it's not to give an account to whether we're saved or lost. It's to give an account to see what we're going to receive. Some will receive more than others, crowns the Bible talks about. But we're going to stand there at the judgment seat of Christ, and Jesus Christ is going to look at us, and a decision will be made as to whether we receive reward or suffer loss. That means, I believe, the suffer loss means the things that we could have had we done the things that Jesus wanted us to do while on this earth. But one of the things that I believe that Jesus wants us to do, and that is to be a witness for him, to tell other individuals about Jesus saves, how that Jesus Christ came into this world and gave his life. He died on the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood for every person in this world. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's you. That's anyone. That's me. We call upon the name of the Lord and we get saved. We trust him. We say, Lord Jesus, I'm trusting you to take me to heaven because I know that you are the Son of God. You were God in the flesh. And I know that because of the Word of God that you've left us. The Bible says that Jesus became flesh and dwell among us. Well, that means he dwelt among human beings. He was a human. Now, he was as much God had he never been man or human, and he was much human had he never been God. Now, don't ask me to explain all of that because I simply do not know how that God, why God would come and be born of a virgin to come and live sinless perfect on this earth and then give his life? I said, well, I don't understand it, but I know he did and I believe he did. I know that he died for me and I know that he died for you. And I know that he's alive today for me and he's alive for you. If you'll just simply trust him as Lord and Savior. If you are saved and you suddenly realize that those friends, so-called, that you had before you got saved, if you realize that they're not treating you the same, that's because you've changed, because you have a new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to read that last part once again of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, wherein they think it strange. That's the people you used to be friends with, we'll say. And that doesn't mean that you don't have to be friends with them now. That simply means that you're a new creature in Christ. You've changed. Wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. It seems they will turn on you. Don't think it strange. Now, folks, the verses of 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 are talking about the unsaved. In times past, our lives exhibited the actions of the unsaved because we were unsaved. Our lives, whether we realized it or not, was filled with lasciviousness. That means lewdness, lusts of the flesh, partying, banqueting, wine drinking, in other words, not simply feast or feasting in our sense. The Song of Solomon in chapter 2 and verse 4 says, he brought me to the banqueting house. And this is literally the house of wine. And notice Esther chapter 7 and verse 2 where it says, and the king said again unto Esther on the second day at the banquet of wine. So, banqueting in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 3 is literally a drunken wine booze party. We're not to do that. We're to stay away from that stuff. The main reason is that we are to glorify God. And we cannot glorify God as a drunk, as someone who is going around and living as the unsaved. If you're saved, remember, you're going to stand one day at the judgment seat of Christ, and he's going to look at you, and you're going to give an account of the things that you've done in your body. Now, I'm going to be happy when I'm there. At the same time, I take it seriously when I know I'm going to stand before the Lord, not to get saved, but because I am saved. He is my God. He is my Lord. And I don't want to be ashamed on this earth for not serving him, for doing things wrong as the unsaved would do. I want people to be able to look at me and say, that person evidently knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior because that he is living for the Lord. Now, you need to be living for the Lord, saved person. You need to be doing what he wants you to do, not living as the unsaved because you are saved. You need to let people know that you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, the Ephesus church people are being warned in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 to not be as unsaved people, but be what God wants them to be. And he's telling us that today. This is exactly what God wants us to be, Christian, Christ-like. Our testimony should be above reproach. Do not partake of the world's view of a good time, getting drunk on alcohol, but rather Ephesians 5:18 says, but be filled with the Spirit. That's not talking about the spirit of alcohol. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. How much more proper for Christians to be filled with the Spirit of God under his control rather than that of being intoxicated with the spirit of the devil, alcohol, and be under its control? Let Christians, when about to indulge in a glass of wine, think of this admonition. Let them remember that their bodies should be the temple of the Holy Ghost, and it is, rather than a receptacle for intoxicating drinks. Was any man ever made better, a better Christian, by the use of wine? Was any minister ever better fitted to counsel an anxious sinner, or to pray or to preach the gospel by the use of intoxicating drinks, by being drunk with wine? The history of wine drinking and having self-control speaks for itself. Self-control is gone when alcohol is drinking, when you drink it. Christ said in Luke chapter 21 in verse 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting," to overdo, in other words, "and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." Did you notice that? "And drunkenness." That's the Lord speaking. Ephesians 5:19 says, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." You can't do that if you're drunk, if you're drinking wine, if you're partaking of something that is forbidden in the Scriptures. Oh, may we all turn to the Lord and say, "Oh God, give me the strength that I need, the strength to let other people know that I know you as my Lord and Savior." May that be on each of our lips and in our hearts, that we are to be serving God and we're to be bringing honor and glory to Him. Be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now let me add this, that everybody has the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit we're speaking of. Every person who names Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, they have the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Bible says that if you have not the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. That means you're not saved. Well, how do you get the Holy Spirit? You get saved. You trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Every person who names Jesus as Savior, they have the Holy Spirit. Or may I say this, they need to be letting the Holy Spirit have them. And we have the Holy Spirit, but we need to let the Holy Spirit have us. And that's what it means in that verse. Be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit control us. Let the Holy Spirit of God take us and use us for His purpose, not for our purpose, not for our pleasure, but for His pleasure. I keep thinking back how that my Lord was mistreated and maligned and ridiculed, and finally He went to the cross. He gave His life for me that I could have eternal life. And then I think of the time when He came out of that tomb. He's alive today because He rose from the grave bodily, not spiritually. He's with the Father in heaven. And in fact, in the book of Acts, the people standing there saw Him going up in the clouds. And the Bible tells us that there was two standing by who said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up in the clouds? This same Jesus which is taken up from you shall in like manner come as ye have seen Him go." And I remind you that Jesus is coming back for us who name Him as Savior. Those of us who are living today in this age we call the church age, He's coming back for us in the rapture of the church. And He's going to say, "Come up hither." And we're going to go to be with Him. And that's going to be a glorious time for everybody who names Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But it's sad that some people will not go when He says, "Come up hither." Why? Because they haven't trusted Him as Lord and Savior. You need to trust Him today if you've never trusted Him as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to come into your heart. And saved person, you need to be living for Him today, because He could come back at any moment. He could come back before I finish speaking right now. Are you ready for Him? I pray that you're serving Him right now and that you're looking for His return. He's waiting for you to say, "Lord, I want to be used. I want to serve You more today than I did yesterday." Won't you serve Him today as you need to be serving Him as the saved person that you are? Lord, let me go,
and let me stand. You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.